We hear a lot of perspectives on the Mankind podcast. Inclusion of a guest is not an endorsement of their views, and the opinions expressed here do not always represent the mission or values of the Mankind Project USA.
What happens when nearly everything we learn about sex, especially as men growing up in these generations of pervasive porn? Like, what is it? How does it work? What does it mean? What if all of that is rooted in shame and lack of healthy learning or performance pressure? What is the impact that that has on us, on our self-image, on our ability to experience pleasure and on our ability to share pleasure with our partners? It's poison. Welcome back to the Mankind Podcast. Before we dive in today, like, fair heads up, in this episode, we are talking about sex openly, honestly, sometimes graphically. So if you've got little ears around or you're not ready for this kind of conversation right now, press pause, come back to this when the time's right for you. Today's guest is Olga Ribble. She's a tantra educator, an intimacy coach, and a guide for men navigating the challenges of modern sexuality. She's here to help explore a radical idea that sex can be healing, sacred, that our bodies, that men's bodies are sacred, and that pleasure, presence, connection, and power are not just nice to haves, but essential parts of what it means to live fully, to get and give pleasure, connection, and intimacy. We talk about the truth and the myths of Tantra, realities of male sexual dysfunction, and how men can shift from performance to presence, and from shame to empowerment. This might be uncomfortable and important. So, welcome to the Mankind Podcast. Everybody, it's Poison Hodgson. Welcome back to the Mankind Podcast, the podcast where we are setting out to prove that there is more than one way to be a man by having intimate conversations. Today is going to be no exception for sure. Today, I'm with Olga Ribble, and Olga Ribble is a tantrika, I think is one of the words that gets used out there, who works with men. So first of all, say hello, Olga.
Well, Boyson, thank you so much for having me here. And I truly appreciate the privilege of speaking to your audience about Tantra for the modern man.
There we go. So in a world where men, and this is kind of an introduction to Olga, in a world where men often have to navigate the complexities of intimacy and relationships and sexuality alone, Olga offers hope and guidance. Traditional paths like consulting urologists sometimes often miss the mark by failing to address the holistic nature of sexual wellness. Olga embraces natural options and provides accurate, empowering information that will speak to the heart of your concerns. Her intention is to create a sanctuary for open, judgment-free conversations about sexuality. We're going to have one of those today. Here is another opportunity. Outside of the intro, we're going to be talking about sex today. Olga invites men into a space where you can explore your sexual and relationship history, address present concerns, and set your intentions to illuminate the way forward. Her approach is deeply personal and transformative, drawing from Tantra, Taoist sexual practices, kink, massage, communication, and relationship studies, enriched with the latest scientific insights. And we decided that we would start out really from the top because this is the first time that I have done a conversation about Tantra on the Mankind Podcast. So, weird word, one of those words that we don't hear all the time, one of those words that might elicit some response in men. So, what's Tantra?
Ah, I'm so glad you asked. It is definitely misunderstood. So I want to start from the very beginning. Tantra began in India around the 6th century when Hinduism and Buddhism were popular religions at that time. And those religions focused on enlightenment by giving up worldly pleasures. So they focused on meditation and yoga and fasting and so on. And Tantra came in as, in a way, a counterculture movement, kind of like what happened here in the 60s and 70s. And instead of denying worldly pleasures, Tantra actually said to cultivate bliss through pleasure. So it included sexuality as an important part of who we are as human beings, including mental, spiritual, physical, emotional, and sexual. So that is something that Tantra does that most religions and religious beliefs don't do. It is very sex positive. And the other part of Tantra, which is interesting, is that Hinduism and Buddhism were mostly patriarchal religions, and as well as other religions. And Tantra has men and women as equals. So that is what ancient Tantra was about. Now let's move it to today's world.
Modern Tantra for the modern man, yes.
So in the 1960s and 70s, Tantra came to the United States during the sexual revolution. And what we practice here is something called Neo-Tantra or New Tantra. There's a guru from India called Osho that was responsible for bringing Tantra to our world. And a woman by the name of Margot Anand and other teachers came to the United States and began the Neo-Tantra movement. So
what would you say is a distinction between kind of the older philosophical legacy and Neo-Tantra? What are some distinctions there?
There are movements of Tantra that only focus, for example, on meditation. Believe it or not, yoga actually comes out of Tantra. Here in the United States, sexuality is something that we sort of struggle with. How do we learn about sex? Most of us don't learn about it at home. We are shamed for it at school. It's kind of like this disease prevention talk. All of our religious institutions don't talk about it. It's considered sinful, bad, kind of like don't even go there. So myself, I was a Christian growing up in the South, and sex was never talked about. Don't do it before you're married. And I remember masturbating as a teenager and feeling extremely guilty about it. Like, that just was not allowed. Yeah.
Yes. Me too, and probably most of the men listening and most of the people listening, right? That's kind of a restrictive culture that we grew up in. So one of the things that we talked about in our so where does Tantra start with that? Like, all of us have sexual histories.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So let me just share with you a little bit about my education in Tantra and how I started. So if you think about where do most people learn about sex is through movies and through porn. Then we kind of have our own, fumbling experiences with sexuality. And what movies and porn show us is this quick, passionate, intense run to the end, finish, ejaculation. So that's kind of what people see. And that's kind of how sex is portrayed. And then we try to imitate that kind of sex. So man has a 3-second orgasm, and women often don't have an orgasm. That's just kind of, you know, what happens. And it's like, boom, 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 man ejaculates, and it's over in a few minutes. So that kind of was my experience the first part of my life. And then 15 years ago, I got a divorce and started dating. And I thought, oh, it's got to get better than this. And my experience was rather disappointing, I have to be honest. I remember dating a man and being, you know, wined and dined. And then, you know, you're expecting this grand, you know, finish. And he happened to, at that time, not get aroused, and his penis just wasn't working. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's, what did I do wrong? You know, just being really disappointed, embarrassed, never saw him again. Mm-hmm. So my experience with Tantra started when I went to my first weekend in New York City, and I met a man who had been studying Tantra for 3 years. And we started dating. And my first experience with him was unbelievable because of how Tantra approaches sexuality. So we learned in the weekend how to, you know, some of the tantric techniques and how to give a Tantra massage. So I went to his house, completely different experience. He had 2 pillows set up on the floor, rose petals everywhere, music's playing. We sit, we look into each other's eyes. We have a conversation about what is it that you desire. There was this feeling of reverence. There was a feeling of spaciousness. And we had learned how to breathe, how to kind of connect, how to do some of the tantric techniques, but the whole thing was a focus of presence, eyes open, looking at each other, taking it slow, and the focus was on pleasure and not ejaculation. What I can tell you is with this man, I experienced incredible orgasmic energy moving through my body. And the thing that surprised me the most that I had never seen before is that he did not ejaculate during our sessions, during our intimacy, which completely surprised me. Like, what is that? But what it allowed us to do is to continue, because once a man ejaculates, you know, you're kind of done. And what I see in my practice is that women tend to become turned off from sex because it's like this quick boom, 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 and they don't get any pleasure. So they just kind of think, well, this is not really worth it. And the statistics show us that 40% of marriages are sexless, which is very, 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 very sad.
40%. Yes, that is very sad. So I'm going to reflect back based in what you were just talking about and to say that, wow, Tantra is still really a countercultural movement because there are so many pieces of the story that you just told that for, you know, I'll own some of this, that for me, thinking about what it was like back in the day and, sustained eye contact, slowing down, focusing on being present, honoring the experience of pleasure, not trying to get through it too quickly. Like all of those things run counter to what I think most of us are carrying around in our heads as, you know, what sex looks like.
Yeah.
These days.
And what you just said about carrying it around in your head, if you think about it, all of us, well, most of us saw sex before we did sex. So, you know, you kind of look at movies and porn and you think, this is how it should be. I should be bam, bam, bam. I should be fast. I should ejaculate. And then you try to replicate that in the bedroom instead of just being with this person and moving from the heart, like making love and having sex is sort of this distinction. And Tantra allows you to be in that space of lovingness and that space of expansion. And it becomes a full body, heartful, spacious, beautiful communion between two people. Sacred communion.
So I'm going to pull the two people out of that now to go into something that we talked about in our first conversation, which is Tantra starts in here. And I'm pointing at my own head, my own body, my own self. You work with men on developing practices and helping to work through some of these things. So talk about, what does that look like for a man who has been carrying around all this stuff, all this socialization, all these stories, all these belief systems, all of this baggage around sexuality, to come into a tantric relationship with himself first?
Yes, yes. And I just want to, you know, mention that, you know, some of the myths, and I'll go right into that.
Yeah, good.
So first of all, there's this myth that Tantra is only for couples. And that is actually not true, because tantric practices start with yourself. And I went through 15 years of going to workshops, learning how to work with my own body. So this is why, you know, I'm teaching the class Tantra for the Modern Man, because it starts with you as a man. And how do you learn to be a good lover is actually from your own self-love practice. So when I work with men, one of the first things we do is we look at, what is the man doing with himself? Is he focused externally, or can he go inward and really begin to self-pleasure in a way where he is focusing on his own sensations, really going slowly and finding this incredible pleasure in his own body? So we really start with the self. The second myth in Tantra has to do with, like, Tantra is all about sex, orgies or wild kink or something like that. And that is absolutely not true. There's so many different things that Tantra is, and it's not just penetrative sex. It has to do with slowing down, communication, other ways that couples can find that intimacy. The third myth of Tantra that I want to talk about, I have a lot of men coming and saying, oh, I want to have a Tantra session so that I can cure my erectile dysfunction or premature ejaculation. Somehow they hear that that's going to cure them. And what I want to say is yes and no. So yes, there are some really great practices that you can learn through Tantra, and I teach this. However, if you are experiencing erectile dysfunction or premature ejaculation, there are many other things that you need to learn. And I have a one-on-one program called Long Lasting Lover, where we look at what is going on in your life as a whole, because there's so many different things that impact a man and his sexuality. And what I want to teach men is long, like, for the rest of your life, being potent, being able to not just perform, but really be a great lover. So I think it's very important to know that not just studying Tantra, but all of that, all of who you are is actually a product of how you are sexually. So if you are overstressed, if you're not eating right, if you are having bad habits, all of that impacts your sex. So yeah, does that make sense?
Yes, that totally makes sense. And again, countercultural, because for a lot of us, sexuality is like this one compartmentalized kind of thing separate from all the other things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of men, masturbation or, you know, sexuality is like mechanical.
Yes.
Rather than spiritual. It's isolated, mm-hmm, rather than holistic. It's something that we do to blow off steam, de-stress, like those kinds of things. So how does Tantra reframe that kind of way that we hold sex in our culture?
Well, thank you for asking that question. First of all, just having the mindset of sexuality as being part of the whole, like accepting it as sacred, looking at your body as sacred, looking at, you know, I'm a spiritual, emotional, intellectual, and sexual being. So first of all, accepting this as part of yourself. Tantra renames our genitals, which I think is very, very interesting. So a man's penis is called a lingam, which is called the wand of light, or a vajra, thunderbolt. So imagine, you know, you have this thunderbolt, this sacred part of you. It's like, yeah, this wand of light where you send energy into the woman. And the woman's genitals are called a yoni, which is called a sacred space. So here you are renaming your genitals as sacred, as something that you do in the space of an added dimension. So when you look at your partner in Tantra, you look at them as an object to be worshipped, as an object of, wow, here's a sacred divine woman. I'm the sacred divine man, and I'm going to literally worship this woman as a sacred object. Like that just completely puts what's going on in a different space. And in Tantra, we also talk about literally in our space, creating a sacred space, meaning like looking at the environment, you know, putting on music, putting on candles, putting on a beautiful robe, bringing in beautiful scents and food to eat, like making sex something different from the outside world, like making it really, really special between the couple. So yeah, it's kind of nice and juicy. And there's more. And there's more pieces that Tantra brings as well.
Thank you. I want to call out, and we'll see where this goes, because we didn't touch on this at all. So I'm noticing in our language, and both of us are doing it, that there is a very heterosexual kind of bias that we're bringing into the conversation. And I'm wondering if there's a framing that you can have from your experience in the Tantra world of how this applies across all of our bodies and all of our sexualities and all of our gender expressions.
Thank you for bringing that up. So Tantra talks about that within ourselves, there is the masculine and feminine polarity. So even within your own self, there is that going on. So this is Tantra is something that you see all different couples of all kinds practicing. And there is actually a Tantra for Men program. We have, you know, all different kinds of couples. And Tantra can be done by all people. So it's all inclusive, because we don't see polarity being just as masculine, feminine, but we see that we have that polarity within ourselves. So it really is all, you know, all inclusive.
Thank you. I love that. Because there's this, you know, when we're speaking about what most of us bring as men to relationship and to sexuality, and then what Tantra is offering as kind of a different path of taking, There's a lot of those kind of energetics associated with Tantra that seem, you know, in the regular cultural stereotypical, they're feminine, and I'm air quotes on that, right? Like being receptive to pleasure, slowing down and being fully present in my own skin and my own body, recognizing like subtle changes rather than big changes and things, like all of those things are kind of counter to the typical masculine stereotype that we have. So
yeah,
it's the energetics, right? We're playing with energy and playing with energetics.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention is, you know, a lot of the sex you see is this performance, like men go into this performance mode, like I have to perform. And Tantra changes it to pleasure. Like instead of thinking, oh, you know, being in the mind and thinking, oh, I have to get here, I have to do this, I have to do that, it changes the focus to be like, oh, what is my body feeling right now? Like go inside. My new partner that I've met about a year and a half ago, he for a good 10 years, he was married, his wife died, long story, but he did a lot of practices by himself, totally retraining his body as far as self-pleasure. And what you can begin to find is this incredible just arousal just by touching yourself, just by slowing it down. And the breath, we use a lot of breathing in Tantra, allows you to bring the energy, sexual energy, from your genitals up the body. So there's a lot of kind of breath practices that we do in Tantra where that energy moves through the body and is just becomes blissful, and ejaculation doesn't even have to happen. And I wanted to bring up, if you're familiar with John Gray's book.
Wait, stop. What?
Yes.
Ejaculation doesn't even have to happen. No, let's go there. So there.
Okay.
And I'm also going to frame from a different place, right? That they're in some of the kind of men's space out there on the internet. There are coaches and guys who talk about retention, who talk about, you know, sexual energy retention. And that's something that's always kind of over there for me.
Yeah.
So say more about that. Say more about like sex without ejaculation, sexuality without ejaculation.
Yeah. So this was kind of new for me. And let's just look at what happens when you do ejaculate. Okay, so, you know, there's this big buildup, dopamine, you know, just floods your brain. You just feel so amazing for all of like 3 seconds. And the next thing that happens is prolactin creates this sensation of feeling tired, depleted, and men can even get very, very depressed. So there's this ramping up, and then, and you can even feel it as a man, you know, you're up, 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 feeling great, and then all of a sudden, crash. So this is a real physical, just something that happens to all men. What Taoist sexuality and Tantra teaches is how you can circulate that energy in your body and have lots of sex, allow the woman to be pleasured as long as you want, and then at the end, keep those chemicals. So the feeling is one of just blissness in your body where you can just have the energy. And I want to just point this out to you, that before athletes go to play game, like a Super Bowl or whatever, they are told, do not ejaculate the night before. I don't know if you've heard that or not.
I've seen it in movies, actually. I've seen like this, it's kind of put out there in movies. Yes. But tell me more about that.
Yes. So when a man ejaculates, there is a refractory period and a period of rebuilding. And if a man over ejaculates, he's constantly actually depleting himself of this incredible energy. What happens when you stop doing that, or maybe say do it every other time, is you're keeping all these hormones inside of you. When you go out there, women are like, oh, sort of like attracted to you. Like, I don't know why this guy's got all this stuff going on. And you don't go through this extreme dip in emotion. And I want to say this, some of the, like Mantak Chia, some of the teachers are very extreme, like a month, you know, going a month without it. What is actually recommended by someone like John Gray in his latest book is once a week. Like once a week release, then the body has time to actually build up. Because once you release, you're actually not that interested in your woman anymore. There's something that happens where, you know, you have that cigarette or you roll over and you go to sleep. But if you delay, it is learning. You have to learn how to do this, but it is learnable. You maintain this incredible, cocktail of hormones in your body and you feel amazing. So you don't feel depleted. That's caused a lot by this.
I'm really curious. This is a different, another kind of side quest here. So something else that I certainly have run into in being involved in facilitating men's work for as long as I have is sexual compulsiveness, kind of sexual addiction kind of stuff where men use, I'm thinking of Gabor Mate's kind of idea of the hungry ghost, right? That addiction is a process. Addiction is kind of like something that we go to and it doesn't really matter what the substance is, but it's the process that we're engaged in. How does Tantra look at something like that kind of sexual compulsive behavior or addictive behavior?
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up. It is very, very, I would say even normal for addiction to happen to something like porn. Because of this chemical called dopamine. So if you know that you're going to look at something and it's going to get you this bang at the end, it becomes very, very addictive. It's kind of like eating sugar or dessert. And it's actually as addictive as heroin. It's a different type of addiction. But what happens is that because men know that watching porn, getting turned on, having an orgasm quickly is going to get them there, it becomes more and more and more addictive. And it's very, very interesting what happens. And this is kind of this is kind of well known that there are actually parts of the brain connected to romantic love and connection that actually start to diminish in size with years of internet porn use. Wow. And a part of the brain called the putamen, which decreases sexual arousal and even erections when men are looking at extensive porn exposure. So I wanted to share with you an experience that I had with a man who came to me for help. He had been married for 5 years and was having difficulty getting aroused with his partner. And he was just very, very puzzled as to what was going on. And I asked him many questions, and then the topic of porn came up. And I asked him, what kind of porn are you watching? And when he told me, I asked him, well, does your partner do this or look like this? And he said, no. So what was happening for him is that he was being aroused by an image that had him be aroused, and his body got aroused to that. However, when he came home, his partner didn't look like that or didn't dress like that. So he was not getting aroused. So I just wanted to point that out, that that may be happening to some people when they are watching a very specific type of porn.
We are programming our brains at the same time that we're doing that, right?
Absolutely. That's exactly what's happening. Yeah, thank you for mentioning that.
So if there's a listener out there who this is true for, and this is also, you know, there's a lot of research about kind of the way that the pornography trains our brains and then interacts with the algorithms in pornography to train our brains into looking at more and more, new stuff, right? Novelty. So it's this constant push for novelty in what we're searching. So how can men start to undo that? How can men start to kind of disconnect from that addiction to novelty, addiction to imagery?
Yeah. Well, the first thing I would say is, this is a habit, and it's an unconscious habit, and it's so prevalent. Nudity and all that is so available. So really, first, it starts with a decision. Let me try something different. That's the first thing. The second thing I would say is to really shift the idea to let me just allow my body to have pleasure and let me not focus on ejaculation. To take the time to masturbate in a different kind of way, where they're touching their whole body, where they're really taking time to feel into their body. So they're internal focused as opposed to external focused, so that they no longer need stimulation from their eyes looking at things, and go more into their own body to take the time to feel, to take the time to get to know their body in a different way. And to start to breathe, actually. It's interesting because breath, when you start to breathe, spreads the energy. So you're touching your body all over and you're breathing and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, my body actually feels incredible. Just slowing down and touching and realigning how you feel based just on your own touch.
Thank you. You suggested in a document that we had, and you kind of just started to do it, but that's a kind of beginning of a practice for men to kind of learn. So would you like to share one of the practices, like introductory level practices that you bring to men?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I teach this practice to men so that they have a way of focusing more inward. So you can do this anytime, anywhere, and you can just close your eyes and just sense into your body. Just sense, take a deep breath. We always say ah at the end, so take a deep breath in. And just say ah. And just completely, completely relax your body and just feel into your body and just feel into three body sensations. And you can even just take another deep breath and relax your body and just feel into your body. And where are you feeling a sensation? It could be your shoulders, So relaxing your shoulders. It could be some tingling in your neck. So just relax your neck. And maybe you're starting to feel a little tingle in your genitals because we've been talking about sexy stuff. So just accept and feel into your genitals. And allow yourself to completely relax. And take another deep breath. And a big sound. And just allow your body to feel completely relaxed. Just allowing relaxation to go from the top of your head all the way down your body. Feeling more and more relaxed. Feeling more and more in your body. And from this space, being able to go into either a self-practice or being present with your partner. And just opening your eyes and finding yourself present right here and right now. So just as a practice, a couple of times a day, just going inward and relaxing and letting go of stress, because stress is definitely something that hinders good sexual performance. The other thing I wanted to mention regarding breath is a lot of times men in sex will close their mouth and get tight in sex. And Tantra always teaches us to take a breath and relax our body. So high states of arousal in a relaxed body. Mm. And that's one of the practices that, you know, that we do a lot of is learning to relax into pleasure.
Thank you. Let's not miss the opportunity to talk about you. So you brought a couple of statistics into the room earlier today, but when we spoke before, I was kind of shocked by the statistics around erectile dysfunction and premature ejaculation. And how does, so first of all, bring those to the listeners here. And then how does the work that you're doing with men help support healing in those areas?
Yeah, thank you. So the statistics are that 1/3 of men experience premature ejaculation. And I, even just this week, had someone call about that. That is a very, very common problem. And there is no pill for this. There is no, you know, you don't hear about it. There's no Viagra out there. And that is something that I work with a lot. And I have found there are men who even ejaculate after 30 seconds. So they're very, very frustrated. It's a source of, men don't talk about it. It's a source of self-shame
and self-loathing. And,
And their partners, you know, just aren't satisfied. So I've had men come in like that. And now they're at like 10 minutes. And it's like, wow, that's a big difference. It's a huge, 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 big difference. The other thing that I work with is erectile dysfunction. So the statistics are that 50% of men age 50 are experiencing erectile dysfunction. And that goes on 60% of men age 60, 70% of men age 70. So this is also a very, very big problem. And of course, the urologist is going to say, take a Viagra pill. Well, that stops working. It has other effects on men. And I can tell you that there are many, many, many things that can be done naturally. And so I have a program called Long Lasting Lover, which is one-on-one coaching, where we look at every part of your life and what can be done to boost that. And in such a way that you can be a long-lasting lover for the rest of your life. So a lot of men that I work with somehow are curious, like, why is my penis not working? And they forget that their penis is part of their whole body. It's part of their habits. what they're eating, what they're watching. Are they exercising their hormones? And they forget that erections have to do with blood flow. So if blood's not flowing down there, if you are doing things that are not healthy, you're going to start having problems. And there's something called the canary in the coal mine. You know, the canary in the coal mine was brought into the coal mine. And when the canary died, that means there wasn't enough oxygen and the men had to leave. So canary in the coal mine for men is ED, erectile dysfunction. If you're starting to have those symptoms, there's something in your system that's going wrong. And it's important to look at all of those things. It's not just your penis. It's everything else that's connected. So when I do sessions with men, I always look at every single area to see what needs to be done. So that's for men who have some issues now. But what I've created is something called Tantra for the Modern Man, which is starting, it's a program starting in April, April 26th. I have three Saturdays that are like free intros. And it's every Saturday from noon Eastern time. And it's 6 weeks. And what we do is what I've done is really take all of the best practices from Tantra, from Taoist sexuality, from, you know, everything that I've learned into small, concise units that a man can work with himself. This is done over Zoom. And I can tell you, you are going to learn a lot of these techniques. You're going to learn what it is that you need to be a lifelong, confident, extraordinary lover. You're going to understand how to feel more pleasure, what women need in terms of sexuality, and how to generate full body bliss in your body. So, it's something that I'm very excited about. And I think you're going to be providing some way that they can reach me.
Yes. So look in the show notes for information on all of what Olga offers. You'll be able to find her website and additional things that she offers. Olga, what last thoughts do you have that you want to make sure the listeners hear? I've got one first. So the statistics are a little scary, right? But the other side of that, the statistics being scary, are you're not alone.
Yes.
Like, it's not uncommon. It's something that there are answers and there are things that you can do to work with. And it doesn't make you bad. It doesn't make you broken. It doesn't mean that you're not a man, right? There you go.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. And I just want to bring hope to all men that whatever it is you're going through, you are not alone. And there are solutions to all of this. And if you choose to learn them, your life will definitely change. My website is nordicgoddesstantra.com. And I'm very happy to speak with anyone who has questions. And I would love for you to join my Tantra for the Modern Man program this month.
Olga Ribble, thank you very much for taking this time. Keep listening to the Mankind podcast. More uncomfortable, helpful conversations will be coming. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been the Mankind podcast, produced in association with the Mankind Project USA. And of course, I want to thank you, the listener, because through your attention and your support, you make it a heck of a lot easier for us to let men out there in the world know that they are not alone and that there is more than one way to be a man. And if you've been enjoying the music throughout this episode and all of our episodes, check out Jim Donovan and the Sun King Warriors. I have links to them in the show notes. Now, the fee for this episode is simple. If you found gold and insights that you believe could benefit your loved ones and those you care about, be sure to share it with them. And of course, remember that life doesn't happen to us, it happens for us, so long as we rip the pen out of fate's hand and become the author of our own story. So my friend, pick up the pen and we'll see you next week. Lots of love.
Hey, it's Boysen. On the Mankind podcast, we've brought some incredible guests on to talk about the importance of doing the work to improve our mental and emotional health. And here's the truth. Multiple times over the last 25 years, I've had the help of one-on-one work with some amazing therapists. For me, for my wife, for both of us as adoptive parents, and for our kids. The Mankind Project and Men's Group, though awesome, are not a substitute for professional mental health support. And so I'm thrilled that the Mankind Podcast now has BetterHelp as a sponsor for the show. BetterHelp works online. It asks you what you're working on and then matches you for live one-on-one sessions with a licensed therapist, someone trained to work with you, listen, and offer helpful insights. I'm using BetterHelp. It's super easy, and I like what I'm getting. If getting one-on-one support in the comfort of your own space feels like a good direction for you, I invite you to check it out. Go to the link in the show notes or betterhelp.com/mankind. And if you sign up, you'll get 10% off your first month of therapy.